First of all, I would like to say that I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm thankful that you are here with us. It's a real privilege to be here under the tent, to have you wonderful people come out and be with us. We had a wonderful time last night. Had a little trouble finding the tent when we first came in here, but everything went real good for us. And we finally found it and found a place to stay. And I had a chance to talk with the Lord a little bit today. So, we enjoyed the service last night. I'm trusting that tonight that we'll have a good service, that the Lord will say something to us or through us to you. How are you glad to be here tonight? You love the Lord? How do you believe that we're living in the closing of time? It is true. The last fleeting moments of time, folks, are upon us. Now, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate Brother Taylor, our singers, our helpers. I see some people from Little Bethlehem tonight. I'm grateful for them being here. And I guess tomorrow there may be some more that will be here with us. We're thankful for them, especially thankful for you that have come out from the different homes here. And we just appreciate you so much congregating together under the little tent here so we can tell you about Jesus. It's a great hour that we're living in. A great hour. I wonder, just before we read tonight, if we could just bow our heads together for just a moment and let's just talk to Jesus or the author of the word for just a few minutes, can we? Hallelujah. Father, I'm thankful tonight for your wonderful presence. Father, I thank you tonight for the opportunity to stand here before the people, realizing tonight that we are but the dust of the earth. But oh, that thou art God, the great eternal God, and the brilliance, hallelujah, of your presence. The illumination of thee, Lord, is in the earth. God, we're so thankful. Lord, as we feel the divine anointing of Jesus here tonight, feeling your presence, the wonderful presence of God, and the faith that we feel in the hearts of these people. I trust tonight that you'll say something, God, that will benefit these people. Oh, God, that you'll collect their spirits tonight into your spirit, their thoughts and their minds tonight into yours. I trust that you'll do it, Father, in the most lovely name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read just a little bit tonight to you. And then after this, we'll talk to you just a little bit and see if the Lord will say something to us. You know, the Bible teaches that when the minister is preaching, it is not him that speaketh, but it is the Heavenly Father speaking from within him. Now, a lot of people, you know, they never get the things of God because a lot of times they judge the minister and they say, well, you know, it's not the anointing, they say. And they really don't understand the anointing, and they shouldn't judge the preacher. They say, well, I think he's anointed now. And then they say, well, I think he's not anointed now. And then they say, I think he's preached long enough and the anointing's gone. Now go home. That's the way people judge the ministry. But see, that's not wise. See, people will say, well, I don't think he's anointed tonight. I think I'll leave. But this is a great mistake. You see, the preacher does not have to get anointed. You see how mistaken people can be? The preacher does not have to get anointed. All down through the years, you know, people have been confused over this thing. They say, well, he got anointed tonight. He didn't get anointed tonight. But the preacher does not have to get anointed. Somebody say amen.
Praise God.
Now, somebody say, oh, I know that you're wrong, preacher. But I'm not wrong. Amen. You know, I'd be foolish to get up here and talk about things I didn't know anything about, wouldn't I?
Amen. Right.
If a fella says something, don't have a foundation for it, there's something wrong with him. I've been too far and wide for that. The preacher does not have to get anointed because the Bible said he is God's anointed. The preacher is always God's anointed. If you meet him down at the service station, he's God's anointed, and he'll say something to you about Jesus. If you meet him on the street, he's God's anointed. If you meet him in the morning, he's God's anointed. If you meet him at the noonday, he's God's anointed. If you meet him at night, he's God's anointed. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? So then he is God's anointed. He is the man of God sent to tell you about Jesus. Now there is times when he can be a little more explicit in expounding the gospel, not in getting anointed, but in that he has a living receptacle to receive and to draw forth the virtues of God that's on the inside of him. You know, Jesus, one time, many people came around Jesus, but only one little lady drawed the virtue from the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, it's not a matter of him getting anointed, it's a matter of you coming in faith and drawing what is inside of the preacher. Tonight, there is enough revelation in my heart that I could start preaching now, and at the end of the week, we could just be getting started good if we preach day and night without stopping. So see, it's not a shortage, you know, of the Word. The Bible didn't say there'd be a shortage of the Word in the end time. A lot of people say, well, the Bible said there'd be a famine for the Word in the last days, but it doesn't say that. Plenty of Word in the last days. Said he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. But he said there would be a famine for the hearing of the Word in the last days. Faith cometh by hearing. And he said it'd be hard to find faith in the earth in the latter times. So then the famine is not for the Word, but the famine is for the listeners, the hearing of the Word. The last days they will heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Now then, that is to say, they will choose their own preachers, their own teachers, and people who cross what they believe and cross what the elders have taught them and cross the denominational indoctrinations that they have. It'll do away with those. And they will get somebody that will work with them in what they want to do in their programs and in their way of life. So then the famine will be for the hearing of the Word. I'd like to read just a little bit to you tonight. In the book of Daniel, and I want you to bear with me if you will. Let me read just a little bit here and see if we can say something that might benefit you. All right, in the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel, in the days of Belshazzar, it said he made a great feast here to his lords, to 1,000 of his lords, and they drank wine together. Let's just read a little of it here and see what he says. Chapter 5, Daniel, the first verse. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wife and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessel that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the God of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and shew me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and shewing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will shew the interpretation. All right, I think that's all I'll read right there. I want to call something to your attention here. Two things that is stated here concerning the scriptures. As the handwriting came upon the wall, it was stated here that the king's body was unjointed. In fact, the terror of what he had seen as he beheld part of a hand as it began to write upon the wall, it was so startling that his joints came loose. Then the Bible said that his thoughts troubled him. But then there came in the queen, and the queen said, O king, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, for there is a man in whom the spirit of the gods are, and this man can dissolve doubts.
Hallelujah.
I'd love to take just a thought tonight, where she says here to the king, let not thy thoughts trouble thee. You know, in the world today, people are greatly troubled by their thinking. Is that right? You know, man is nothing more than what we call a thinking machine. He thinks all day long. He wakes up in the morning and he spends his entire day thinking all day long. He wakes up in the morning, and from early morning until night, when he lays down, he continually thinks. He thinks about this, and he thinks about that. And he thinks about people, and he thinks about problems, and he thinks about things. He thinks about food. He thinks about clothes. He thinks about religion. He thinks about his job. He thinks about the elements. Is that right? Man is always thinking. He's a great thinking machine. His whole life is spent in thinking. It's no wonder that man grows weary because he spends his entire life thinking. He never seems to get any rest. At night when he goes to sleep, in the day that we're living in, he continues to think. All through the night he tosses and he dreams. And a lot of his night is spent in thinking. And his thoughts greatly trouble him. You know why man's thoughts trouble him? It's because God is not taken into his world of thinking. He never includes God in his world of thinking. He thinks about the islands. He thinks about the ocean. He thinks about going to the beach. He thinks about going to the swimming pools. He thinks about watching television. He thinks about listening to the radio. He thinks about reading magazines. He thinks about reading the paper.
Amen.
But there's not too many times that he ever thinks about God.
Praise God. Amen.
A lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, do you think that God expects us to think on him?
Amen. Yes. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. I believe he does.
Amen.
Amen. I believe that God expects us to think on him. What do you think about it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Somebody would say, well, I take time out to go to Sunday school, Brother Pike. I read my Bible. I'm a religious person. I belong to the Baptist Church or the Pentecostal Church. But brothers and sisters, that's not enough. That's not enough. Somebody would say, well, do you want me to be a fanatic? Do you think I ought to think about God all the time? The Bible said to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ, casting down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. David went farther than that. David said, Father, forgive me for the thoughts and intents of my heart. We ought to be so concerned about our soul welfare that we should pray to God that God would forgive us for the intents of our heart, every impulse of our body, every reflect of our mind, until everything within us come into subjection to God and God's way of life.
Amen.
We should think about God every day. Every hour of the day we should think about God. When we lay down at night, we should think about God. If we wake up in the middle of the night, we should think about God. If we're on the job in the daytime, we should think about God. If we're driving down the road, we should think about God. The Bible said, meditate in the laws of God day and night, to pray without ceasing, that you might be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on the earth. Folks, there's such terrors. There are such horrors. There are such evils. There are such judgments that God has ordained to come upon the earth in the day that you're living in. That we're commanded of God to pray always, to pray without ceasing. The Bible said, pray when you're standing, to pray when you're sitting, to pray when you're walking. Pray, always pray. I like the way it described Daniel. It said Daniel prayed. Hallelujah. When it speaks of Daniel, it said Daniel prayed. He prayed in the morning. He prayed at the noontime. He prayed in the evening. Daniel prayed continually. He prayed night and day. Daniel called upon the name of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't pray. Oh, Belshazzar, he didn't pray. Hallelujah. Why pray when you can drink wine? Why pray when you can go out to the beaches? Why take time to pray when you can go to the carnivals and to the fairs, when you can ramble around in the stores and have a good time, when you can frolic, when you can ride up and down the streets, when you can picnic, when you can go through the places just all day long, window shopping, buying and gluttoning? Why pray when there's so much to do?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, Belshazzar, he didn't pray. Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't pray. They eat and they drank and they had a good time. You know, the Bible said in the last days it shall be as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall be as it was in the days of Noah. They shall be eating, they shall be drinking, they shall be marrying and giving in marriage. Amen. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike, eating and drinking and giving in marriage? Why, they've done that all down through the years. They've eaten all down through the years. They've drank all down through the years. They've married all down through the years. What do you mean by that? But what God is speaking of is an excessiveness of eating. There's an excessiveness of eating today. There is an eating for gluttony. The Bible said, blessed is a country when the king eats for strength. Now we're living in a day when people eat for gluttony. They eat just to be eating. They go through the store and buy stuff just to satisfy the appetite. But Solomon says the appetite's never satisfied. Hallelujah. He said they'd be eating and drinking. What did he mean? That there would be an excessiveness of eating in the latter times. There would be an excessive of drinking in the latter times. Is that right? It's not wrong to eat. It's not wrong to drink. But when you get all overbalanced in it, the Bible said, let not your hearts be overcharged with 17 cares of this life, lest that day come upon you unaware. The thing that made God angry with Israel as they come through the wilderness was they pleaded with God for meat. They murmured because they had no meat. Always had their mind on their appetite. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. If you knew tonight what God's trying to say to you, if you understood tonight, hallelujah. Amen. They had their minds on their appetites. David said, let their table become a snare to them. Amen. It's become a snare to the people of today. Why is it that people eat like they do today? Come on, folks. Why do they eat like they do today? You want me to know? You want me to tell you why that they eat like they do today? Because when God cast the devil out of the garden, when he cast the old serpent out, what did he do? He put him on his belly. Amen. The Bible said, all of your labor's for your belly, because your belly craves it of you. He put him on his belly. Amen. Let his table become a snare unto him. The serpent was put on his belly. Amen. And he spends his time feeding his belly. All of his labors for his belly. Amen. But his appetite is never satisfied. God put him on his belly. And today he said there'd be in the latter times an excessiveness of eating. Why? Because the serpent is on his belly. John called him a generation of vipers. He said, oh, thou generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar was on his belly. Old Belshazzar was on his belly. All he could think about was feeding his belly. Continually he ate. Continually he drank. Continually he picnicked. Always somebody getting together in a family reunion. Always Mother Day wanting to go out somewhere and have a special meal.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What is it? What is it? He said in the last days. When was this thing to happen, folks? He said it would be in the last days. Isn't that right? He said in the last days they will be eating. Nothing wrong with eating. Hallelujah. Jesus ate. Nothing wrong with drinking. Jesus drank. And he enjoyed the presence of his disciples. But then he said in the latter time there would be an excessiveness of eating. People overweight continually. Amen, that's right. People eating too much. People continually eating, an excessiveness of eating. Wanting to eat out, wanting to picnic, wanting to have family reunions, wanting to do this, wanting to do that. That foods would become better and better and everybody's mind would be on food.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What is it? Said it would happen in the last days. Isn't that right? But he said something else would take place in the last days. What was it? They shall be marrying. Not only eating and drinking. But he said they shall be marrying in the last days. Isn't that right? Marrying. Somebody said, what's wrong with marriage, Brother Pike? The Bible said it's better to marry than to burn. Amen. A lot of folks need to be married. But God wasn't speaking against marriage. God instigated marriage. And marriage is a holy thing in the sight of God. But what did he mean? What did he mean then, Brother Pike, when he said in the last days they'd be marrying? Why, everybody knows they'll be married in the last days. They're married in the early days. But what did he mean? He mean on an excessiveness of marriage. They wouldn't be satisfied with one wife, they want two wives. Wouldn't be satisfied with two wives, they have to marry the third time. Couldn't be married the third time and be satisfied, have to marry the fourth time. I know someone has married seven times and I don't think they quit yet. What is it? An excessiveness in the latter times. Amen. Marriage in the last days. Marry one time. Marry two times. Marry three times. Marry 10 times. In the last days, they will marry and they will give themselves in marriage. For so it was in the days of Noah. Amen. Until the time that Noah entered into the ark. Hallelujah. Somebody said, give us a sign. Amen. The Greeks look for wisdom and the Jews seek a sign. He said, a sinful and adulterous generation seek the sign. They run from coast to coast to get a sign. Amen. Everywhere looking for a sign. But Jesus said there'll be no sign except that of Jonah. What is that? The sign of the resurrection, that Christ is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. But he said a sinful and an adulterous generation, marrying and giving in marriage. Amen. But he brought in the church affairs too. Amen. He spoke about the church condition. Hallelujah. Somebody said, we've got a nice church. That's good. We got one at Bethlehem. That's fine. Somebody said, we got a good preacher. That's good. I'm trusting that you have got a good preacher. But the Bible said in the last days that the people would be lukewarm. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. Would be religious. Would be Baptist. Would be Methodist. Would be Presbyterian. Would be Pentecostal. In the last days, they would be religious. Their leaders would be religious. Isn't that right? In the latter days, they would be religious. They would be lukewarm, but neither hot nor cold. Amen. I said, to be cold. Last night I made the statement, to be cold, that means you got to be to where you don't know nothing about religion. You don't know nothing about God. Then you're cold. He'll have mercy on you. Amen. And then when you learn about God, the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth, the heavens, the sea, everything in the latter times. And then when you know about God, you can't be cold anymore. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I'm cold because I don't go to church. I don't serve God. And my mother and daddy told me to be hot or cold. And I'm cold. I just don't have anything to do with religion. My brothers and sisters, if you know about God, you can't be cold. There's no way to be cold when a person knows about God. That's what's going to bring the end of the world, is the knowledge of God shall be everywhere. It shall fill the earth, the heavens, the sea, the sky. You say, how in the world will it ever be? Because a revelation will come, and that revelation, that mind of God will unveil everything in the earth and show that from the creation of the world, the mind of God was hid within the veil. Hallelujah. So then, the church world, neither hot nor cold. They're not hot. They don't fast. They don't pray. Amen. Somebody said, I know they do. At least 5 to 10 years ago, a survey was made in one of the leading Pentecostal church, not the Baptist, the Methodist, but that was supposed to be closest to God. A survey was made, and even the ministers did not average 15 minutes a day in prayer. They made another survey, and the laity didn't average 3 minutes a day in prayer. That was years ago. Now I wonder where we're living today, folks. And yet the Bible said to pray always. Daniel prayed. Daniel called on God. Daniel prayed until God heard from heaven and answered his prayer. Hallelujah. But what did he say? In the last days they would have a name. What kind of name? A Baptist name. In the latter times they would have a name. What kind of name? Church of God name. What kind of name? Pentecostal Holiness name. UPC name. Catholic name. Presbyterian name. So did they have a name? Everybody's got a name. Isn't that right? Amen. Everybody looking to their own quarter for their own gain to see how much money they can get for their own work. Isn't that right? But he said they have a name, but they live, but they're dead. Twice dead and plucked up with the root. In the latter times, when will all these things happen? In the last days, what kind of generation would it be? He said it would be a lukewarm, a Laodicean generation. Hallelujah. He said that this would be a generation that would be lukewarm. Is that right? Amen. Said they'd be lukewarm, Laodicean. In the last age, what kind of age would it be? He said it shall be an adulterous age. An adulterous age. Amen. People would marry 1 times, 2 times, 10 times. It would be an adulterous age, God said. Is that right? Somebody say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me because we marry 2 or 3 times that's adultery? It certainly is adultery. Amen. The Bible said the woman is bound by the laws of her husband as long as he liveth. Amen. Somebody said, my preacher didn't tell me that. Well, he didn't preach the word. The Bible said, God, whom God sent him, will speak the word. Hallelujah. Not only will it be marriage, but my brothers and sisters, there's more to it than that. There's people that say, hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad I'm not in the second marriage. I'm glad I'm not in the third marriage. Hallelujah. So they say that I can't be in that sinful, adulterous generation. But brother, according to the Bible said if a man looketh on a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery with her already in her heart. Amen. And the Bible teaches, amen, that if the woman dresses in such a condition to expose her body, that if the man looks upon her, he had to commit adultery with somebody, and she's the somebody. Amen. And the judgment takes 2 to commit adultery. What is it? A sinful and adulterous generation that they would lust after each other. You can't even look at a billboard without it being advertised by nudes. What was the charge in the latter times? As God walked through the garden, he found them naked. I made a prediction many years ago
I said they'll get more nude and more nude toward the end time. Because when God comes, there'll be a bunch of nudists. That's right. Somebody said, I don't believe it's here. Jesus said, you hypocrite, said you can discern the signs of the weather. You know when it's going to rain. You know when it's going to be cold. But he said you can't discern the signs of the time. You're a bunch of hypocrites. What was it? They wasn't praying. They wasn't studying. They wasn't looking to God. They wasn't trying to understand folks. Amen. Are you watching the signs of the time tonight? Are you? Things are fulfilling. People's thoughts are troubling them today. Is that right? Why do their thoughts trouble them? Why? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you're talking about thoughts, now you're talking about my heart. But Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. How do you know that your mind is in your heart? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you're an ignoramus. Scientists say your mind's in your head, but that shows their ignoramuses. Paul said, science falsely so called. That's right, the word science means knowledge. Your mind is in your heart. Your brain is in your head. But your mind is in your heart. Jesus said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Not as he thinketh in his head, but as he thinketh in his heart. He does his thinking in his heart. His brain records it in his head. And because scientists is natural and know nothing except natural things, that means that they can't understand spiritual things. They can't go as far as the spiritual thoughts, so they have to stop with the brain. That's as far as they can go. They're brilliant in that. But Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. They're ignorant in the things of God. You know why? For God has chosen the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Those things that are not, to bring to naught those things that are. What is it? The latter times. People's thoughts are troubling them. Your thoughts trouble you. Why is it that your thoughts trouble you? You know why your thoughts trouble you? The Bible said, commit your works unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Commit your works unto the Lord. Somebody said, demons is about to drive me out of my mind. The insane asylums are filling up. The hospitals are filling up. Isn't that right? But your thoughts trouble you. Why do your thoughts trouble you? Because your works are not committed unto God. God said, commit your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. To bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I'm worried. Brother Pike, I'm afraid I'll do this or that. You don't have to worry about that. My brother, don't worry about doing this or that. You better worry about what you're thinking about. If you think right, you don't have to worry about your deeds. They'll take care of themselves. Amen. That's right. All you got to do is think about your thoughts. Take God into your thoughts. God can give you strength. God can help you. The old queen said to the king, said, King, don't let your thoughts trouble you. Amen. The old king had troubling thoughts. And the queen said, don't let your thoughts trouble you. Said, we've made a discovery. What kind of discovery have you made? Said, oh king, just because you don't understand it don't mean that everybody don't understand. Said, there's a man in the kingdom, and inside of him there's the Spirit of the gods. And said, a good spirit was found inside of him in the days of your father. And said, because it was found inside of him, he dissolved the doubts of your father's heart. He interpreted the dreams and visions of the head of your father in that day. Amen. That old king that saw the handwriting on the wall, he trembled and he shook and his joints come loose. Folks, there's a lot of people's joints coming loose today. Did you know that? There's people that's shaking and people that are trembling. There's people that's about to go insane. There's people that can't keep their balance anymore. There's people that are worried. Hundreds of people feel they've got cancer. Hundreds of people feel like they're losing their minds. Hundreds and thousands of people are afflicted and having problems across the world today. Amen. What is it? Their thoughts are troubling them. But don't let your thoughts be troubled, the queen said. There's a man in whom the Spirit of God is found. The Bible says a dissolver of the thoughts.
Amen.
A dissolver of the doubts.
God.
That God has an answer.
Amen.
When old Daniel came before Belshazzar, and he looked at him, Daniel began to interpret the vision. He began to tell him the things that was taking place. Amen. Oh, there's a great revelation in those things. You know what caused old Belshazzar's trouble? The Bible said Nebuchadnezzar had went up to Jerusalem, and Nebuchadnezzar had gotten the golden vessels of God. Come on, folks. Said he'd gotten the vessels of God, and he'd brought the vessels of God down over into Babylon. And when old Belshazzar decided to drink, he got drunk. He got him some women in there and began to frolic. So then he said, send over and get those gold vessels that come from the house of God. Oh, let me tell you something. You can't mess with God's vessels. Amen. They drank and they made merry and they had a good time, and God let them have a good time. But when he got bold enough to mess with God's vessels, he got in trouble. Amen. You can have your frolic, Nebuchadnezzar. You can have your frolic, Belshazzar. But you can't mess with the things of God. You can frolic. Amen. You can take people in the world and you can impose laws upon them. You can make them dress like a bunch of striptease if you want to. You can put them on exhibit before the world. And you can frolic and you can drink your wine and have your parties. But let me tell you something. When you get the church,
praise God.
Bless him, Lord.
When you impose things upon the church, when the law says the church has got to do this, and the church has got to do that, and you can't send your children to school unless they conform to our ways, our exercises, then the handwriting starts writing on the wall. Amen. Leave my vessels alone. God said they're holy unto me. Amen. We're the vessels of God tonight, sanctified for the use of God. Amen. Man can't mess with the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible said Satan would wear the saints of God out, but then the saints of God would rise and take the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Just before that great tribulation period, the Bible said a great angel screamed out from heaven just before the tribulation period, just before the darkness came in, said the great angel screamed out and raised his hand to heaven. And Revelation 10 said, he swore by him that liveth forever and ever. The time should be no more. Time should be no more. Amen. The time should be no more. Before the great tribulation period, before Antichrist was able to set upon his throne, before the darkness could come in, an angel screamed out from heaven, and he screamed out and said, now has come power, now has come strength for the accuser of our brethren that accused them before God night and day is cast out. Destroy him with the brightness of his coming.
Hallelujah.
Now has come power. Why? Because the man child was caught up. Hallelujah. I know this is foreign to some of you tonight. I know you don't understand what I'm saying. But I wonder if you'll give me just 5 or 10 minutes more to say a little something as we do that. I'll just be here through Friday night. And I don't have a chance in those few nights to get hardly anything over to you concerning the revelation. I just have to preach a message of conviction, correction, to let you understand the hour.
Amen.
But folks, let me tell you something tonight. There has never been an hour in the history of all mankind that can be likened unto the hour that you're living in.
Right.
Never been one. Hallelujah. Amen. When Billy Graham stepped out across the nation, he had a message. Amen. A lot of people didn't believe it, but God gave him a message. When Oral Roberts stepped out across the nation, God gave him a message. When Allen stepped out, God gave him a message. A lot of them went to seed. A lot of them done wrong. A lot of them went worldly. But God gave him a message. Amen. Brother Terrell stepped on the scene. God gave him a message. A lot of great men today, God's given them a message. But my brothers and sisters, there's never been a message like this coming forth in the earth of this hour. There is no comparison. Amen to the message of God that's coming forth at this hour. Not going to be seen, but already been seen. Never been anything like it in the history of the world. You say, Brother Pike, what kind of message is it? It's the message that's going to translate the saints of God and take them out of this world. Somebody said, Brother Pike, do you know what you're talking about? I know exactly what I'm saying. I'm not guessing. I'm not making believe. I'm not living in hope some special thing will happen to bring it to pass.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Brother, God has made known the message of translation. God has made known the secret of bypassing death. Amen. Scientists have looked for many long years, tried to find out how to get around death. There's people that spend your living sitting right here trying to understand how to get around death, how to conquer sickness, and still you don't know how, and still you haven't found it. And science has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, to try to find out how, but have not found out how. But I want you to know tonight, I found out how. Hallelujah. I made the discovery. I spent a lifetime searching and looking and asking and pleading with God. When I was about to despair after many long years, about to give it up and felt like, God, you said it was there. You said we could have it. But I searched and I've looked and I fasted and I prayed, but I've not found it. But God said, hold on a little longer.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. He said, it'll come. I begin to hold on a little longer. And brothers and sisters, it came. Hallelujah! Today death is conquered and God has given me the secret. Hallelujah! Man, it preached down through the years and looked for it and searched for it. But they didn't find it, but I did. Not because I merited it, not because I've done anything special, not because I'm a special person. But I was sincere before God. I cried, I begged, I pleaded for God to tell me and for God to show me, because I didn't want to die. I didn't want to see people die.
Amen.
The Lord said, son, you got it for one reason. I said, why is that? He said, because this is the hour of the rapture of my people. So that's why you got it.
Amen.
Not because you're special. Not because you know something others don't know. Old Brother Daniel stood before the king. And the old king said, look here, I hear that you know some things that my magicians don't know. I hear that you understand some things that my soothsayers don't understand. I understand that you know some things that my wise men can't tell me. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God. Amen. Said, I understand you know some things they don't understand. Old Daniel said, yes, sir. Amen, I do. Can't be a liar. I got to tell you the truth. Amen. Said, I know. The old king said, if you know it, tell me about it. Amen. You know, if you got something, somebody said, show me. The devil said, Jesus, if you be the Son of God, give me a demonstration here. Give me a sign, the Jews said, if you be the Son of God, show me something, they said. Amen. Jesus wasn't trying to show off or prove nothing. A man that's rich and got his pocket full of money, he don't have to prove nothing. You know what he's trying to do? He ain't trying to prove nobody he's rich. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to hide away to keep everybody away from him, from plaguing him to death. When people find out you got money, they want to sell you everything from a shoestring to a Cadillac. Amen. The man that's got money, he tried to hide away. But the ones that hadn't got money, they're always trying to impress somebody with a nice car, a nice pair of shoes, or a cigar or something all the time, trying to prove what they are.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. That millionaire, he don't care if you pass by his door and say, oh, he ain't got nothing, I ain't going to stop there. He'd probably peep through the curtain, you know, and sigh of relief and say, thank goodness, I'm going to get a breath. Amen. Hallelujah! The church has got something tonight, but it's not been revealed to them as to what they've got.
Amen.
Folks, if you're a real son of God tonight, you got something. If you're a real church tonight, you got something. If you're the real, genuine elect of God, you got something you haven't discovered tonight.
Amen.
I've discovered it. Hallelujah. Amen. You love the Lord? I have a little trouble at home. They have to keep up a security so that I can stay, you know, within my breathing, within my thinking. They have to keep somebody there because people are coming all the time, all the time.
Amen.
That's right. I have seen it when there was people in the bedroom, people in the kitchen, people in every bedroom, people in the living room, people in the yard, people everywhere.
Amen.
But to fix it where I get a break. But you know why? Because people know that something is happening. They know that something is coming forth, but they don't understand what it is. They know. The Bible said, look up, for thy redemption draweth nigh. Everybody's eyes are turned up to heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You don't want to die tonight, do you?
Praise.
I don't want to die.
Amen.
You don't have to.
Amen.
Somebody said, ah, Brother Pike, everybody has to die.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Like a great Bible scholar, I use this every once in a while. A great Bible scholar, they call him the Walking Bible. Reverend Dakes, probably one of the greatest Bible scholars in all the world. But there's a lot of things we can learn, folks.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Brother Dakes goes back to the fact that it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment, everybody has to die.
Amen.
So he declares that even Moses and Elijah, Enoch, all of them has to come back and die. Yes, sir. Why? I said, because it's appointed a man wants to die. That's good. He's partly right, partly wrong.
Right.
Amen. Somebody said, and who are you, Mr. Authority, to tell me? Amen. They said, and who are you to teach me?
Amen.
Not trying to. He just said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word.
Amen.
Talking about God's word. If God's word don't say it, Brother Pike, if he says it, it's no good. If God's word don't say it, it doesn't matter who says it, no good.
Amen.
But if God's word says it, the Bible says that every man be a lie. And God's word be true. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word, not your indoctrination, not your church, but by the hearing of the word. There is no faith unto salvation, to healing, to deliverance, but in the word. Hallelujah. That's why there won't be any faith much in the earth at the coming of the Lord Jesus. His people will not be turned to fables and ideas and indoctrination, tradition of the elders. And their faith won't be in the word. But the Bible said, examine yourselves, each individual, examine yourselves and see if you be in the word, in the faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Brother Dake says that Moses and Elijah will have to come back and die. Is that right? That's right. Why will they have to come back and die? As the two prophets of tribulation, they'll have to come back and die. Somebody said, oh, that's going to be so and so and so and so. It'll be Moses and Elijah. You can be sure of that. They'll have to come back and die. Why will they have to come back and die? Because they were under the law. Brother Dake said Enoch will have to come back and die because he didn't taste death. He's wrong. Enoch doesn't come back and die. Amen. Enoch never will come back and die. He doesn't have to die. The seventh from Adam, typical of the translation, the rapture of the church. Somebody said, where do you get that? Enoch was not under the law. Amen. And sin come by transgression of the law. 430 years before the law came, God justified Abraham by faith. Amen. God's got a faith plan tonight. People strain their gnat and swallow a camel teaching the law and do's and don'ts. But our justification tonight is by faith in God. That's why we're the children of Abraham. Enoch does not have to come back and die. Why? Because Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. Amen. We shall not all sleep but be changed. Every man doesn't have to taste death. Amen. There's going to be some more people that won't have to die. Why? Oh, Brother Enoch wasn't under the law. Amen. He was justified by faith. And Paul speaks of the revelation and said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death.
Amen.
If Enoch comes back and die, it will break the scripture. Because the Bible said he was translated by faith that he should not see death.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. There's some more folks that's of faith. How many know that? The law and the prophets until John, since that time faith is here. Shut up under the law until the time of the revealing of the faith of Christ by which you're sanctified. Is that right? So what is it? There's some more tonight. Amen. That don't have to die. Paul said, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Not all sleep. But there's a change, Paul said. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't believe it, but I do. Amen. A lot of people didn't believe it in Enoch's day, but he did. A lot of people died before. A lot of people died afterwards. But Enoch believed God and Enoch lived. Amen. Enoch lived. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? There's a secret tonight. There's a secret. I wish we had plenty of time tonight to bring it to you. But let me tell you something, folks. I just wanted to let you know enough to know that I know what I'm talking about when I say you don't have to die, that the Scripture substantiates it, and that you can have life eternal. Amen. There's something that's happening. There's something that has happened. I wish we had days to bring it out to you. Amen. But just be faithful. The Lord will see you through. I want you to stand with me. You know, when I drank this cold water tonight, I think about what was said to the rich man down in hell. You know, a lot of people say, Brother Pike, there is no such thing as hell. Hell is the grave, somebody said. I admit that it refers to the grave. But somebody said, it's the grave, Brother Pike, that's all there is to it. Well, I'll tell you one thing. That fella down there that said, I'm tormented in these flames. The grave must be full of flames. He said, I'm tormented in these flames. Somebody said, but that's a parable. I know that's a parable. Jesus always spoke in parables. The Bible said, without a parable spake he not unto the people. You know why he spoke in parables? Because God is a spirit and everything is a type with God. Everything he teaches us is through parables. Amen. So that don't prove nothing, does it? Somebody said, well, I've learned a secret, Brother Pike. Say, what is that? Say, well, I know we'll go to hell, like in California, was preaching there in Los Angeles and West Hollywood. Said, we've learned a secret. Say, yeah. Yeah, we'll go to hell, but said, hell's not eternal. It won't last always, you know. God will run some through the fire, try to step a fire, run through the fire, and bring them out on the other side. Amen. Somebody said, well, don't you believe that, Brother Pike? Sure, I believe that hell's not eternal. The Bible said death and hell delivered up the dead that was in them. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. That was the end of hell. Amen. Hell wasn't prepared to punish you with. The Bible said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels in the time of God's anger. And it's only a temporary punishment God puts you in until the day of the lake of fire. Just like paradise. Paradise is a temporary rest for the true people of God until the day they entered into heaven, the place of God's rest. But folks, let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, if hell is cast in the lake of fire, that's the end of hell. That's true. But then when the writer speaks of the flames, he said, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Somebody said everlasting fire means spaces of time. That's true. Forever means spaces of time. Somebody said that's true. That's full of knowledge. You know what you're talking about. The Bible said Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever. He's on earth just for a little while. Is that right? Somebody said, well, if that means forever, then that takes care of it, Brother Pike. Amen. But that's not what he says, is it? It says, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. And then it goes a little further and it said, these are eternal flames. Amen. Somebody said eternal. Eternal flames. Now then, if we explain away the word eternal, we might as well to forget about eternal life. If eternal don't mean eternal to the flames, it don't mean eternal to life. Amen. There is an eternal flame where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Amen. And the man down there said, let Abraham come, dip his finger in just a little bit of water. Cool my tongue from tormented in these flames. Oh, folks, Some of your relatives, some of your friends, some that's going on is screaming tonight. Only a heartbeat between you and that punishment. Only a heartbeat. Just a heartbeat. You don't want to go there. Pain is bad enough. Suffering is bad enough. Oh, I ask God, Lord, why do you let pain be in the world? I've asked him. I say, oh God, why does little children suffer? Why does mommy and daddy suffer? Why all the pain, God, if you're so good? And the Lord has answered back to me many a time. And he'd say, son, that's not suffering. Oh, that's not suffering. Oh, he said, I'm trying to turn my people around. Amen. Folks, years ago, before we had the medical profession, we had better people. Now we can run and get a shot. Used to couldn't get a bad tooth pulled out. You had to suffer it out. That made a better person out of you. The Bible said we learn obedience by the things we suffer. Isn't that right? Jesus, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered. But today we can get a shot and numb the condition. Isn't that right? But God has let pain and suffering and sicknesses, poverty and wars and tornadoes, all of these things, let it come for what reason? For a reason, my friend. And that is to keep us from the real suffering. Amen. To learn what suffering is and what he went through for so that we don't have to really go and suffer in the eternal flames. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God.
You know why a lot of people die? The Bible said that God smote Asa in his feet, King Asa. But he sought the physicians rather than God and he died. See, if he had sought God and found out what was causing the problem, it would have been sin. How do you know that disease and sickness is caused by sin?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people, they ride a little hobby horse and they say, well, Brother Pike, I know better than that. They say, because the Bible said concerning the man that Jesus healed, when they said who sinned, said neither him nor his parents. That's scripture, that's true, brother and sister, that's right.
Amen.
But if you notice, it went a little further. It did not say that sin had not caused it. It just said neither was it him nor his parents. But do you remember any record of sickness before Adam and Eve ever sinned? Did you ever find any record of it? Did you? Was Adam ever sick a day? Was Eve ever sick a day? There wasn't, was there? It was after sin came that sickness and death came. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So then sin is the cause of sickness and death. That's what it is. Amen. And you can get rid of it. If Asa had sought God instead of physicians, he would have lived. He would have lived. So let's find out the trouble in our lives tonight. Let's eradicate the trouble. The Bible said God brought them out of Egypt. He kept them for 40 years, not one sick among them.
Amen.
Neither did their feet swell. Neither did their shoes and clothes wax old.
Amen.
You know, let me say this right hurriedly. People, you know, they feel like they can't trust God. They say, oh, what would we do, Brother Pike, if we didn't have our modern medicines? Our Bible said that day there'd be no healing medicines anyway. But anyway, what would we do if we didn't have our modern science and our schools and our education? What would we do? That's a good question. What did the children of Israel do? They didn't have any high schools. They didn't have any grammar schools. They didn't have any industries. Come on, folks. Hundreds and thousands of people. Amen. Didn't have the governors, didn't have anything. They just found the man of God and found God and they followed him. Amen. Because God gave him a revelation, they followed him. Amen. If the people were to follow the fivefold ministry of God today instead of the governors and presidents, leaders and everybody else, they'd be better off. The Bible said in that day, no man shall save them. No man, the president or nobody else. Amen. He said, things have got so bad till there's no remedy for them. There is no medical remedy. There is no educational remedy. There is no remedy. Thy sins have reached up to the moon. Thy sins have reached up from heaven. Though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. The old carnal mind's got up to the moon to make the nest among the stars. Said Satan through the carnal mind would climb up to the moon, make the nest among the stars. Isn't that right? When they landed on the moon, what did they call it? A nest.
Amen.
Among the stars.
Right.
You follow me? I hope tomorrow night, if God will help me, since I preached to you two nights, that tomorrow night, if you are as attentive tomorrow night as you've been these two nights, tomorrow night we're going to get into a little revelation. I don't know whether you know anything about revelation or not. When you speak of revelation, somebody says, yes, I believe in the book of John. No, I'm talking about God speaking to folks today, making things known today concerning the affairs of today. Hallelujah, the same way John saw them in that day. And tomorrow I hope we'll be able to get into a little of it. I believe we will. You've really surprised me, the kind of spirit, the kind of interest, the kind of eagerness, the kind of hunger that you've got proves that some revelation can be preached to you. I'd just love to be here for a month with that kind of hunger, thirst, sincerity. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? All right. I want to sing a little chorus with you. Give me a little swallow of water here. And sing a little chorus to you, or with you. And after this, I want to pray for you. I said last night we pray for the sick tonight, tomorrow night. And I want to pray for you tonight, and God will heal you. God will heal you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you say, how do you know? Because the Bible said they lay hands on the sick, they'd be healed, recovered. And I believe the Word of God. That don't take a special man. How do you know that? The Bible said the saints of God would do that. Anybody in the church ought to be able to do that. Let's sing this little chorus. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, can we? Go leave them there. Sing it with me. Go leave them there. Take your burdens to my Lord. And leave them there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me. One more time. Go leave them there. Go leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on Megafan, oh, just remember in God's Word how he fed the little birds. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me, will you? Go leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Oh, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Why don't we sing that chorus one more time? I'd like for you to come up here and gather around the altar with me. Maybe you are lost without Jesus tonight. Maybe you need something from the Lord. The day is far spent, the night is at hand. It's time for the children to come home. God loves you tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to come up here tonight. While we sing that chorus one more time, I want you to come up here. If you are a church member, I want you to come up here. Christian, come up here. If you are sick, I want you to come up here. bound with evil spirits. I want you to come up here. Tonight, if you're a sinner, I want you to come up here. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I can't come. I'm not a Christian. But the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Have you got breath tonight? Whether you're a Christian or not, you're living in God's world. You're breathing God's breath. Isn't that right? If you've got breath tonight, the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God tonight. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, surely you don't expect sinners to do that. How somebody said, well, sinners never pray. Sinners don't seek God. But the Bible said, there come a day when every knee shall bow. It didn't say sinners. It didn't say church members. It didn't say Christians. It didn't say Baptists, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal. It said every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Folks, it's time to get your confession in. Try to get it in early. Because someday you're going to make it. Someday you're going to confess before the multitudes. Someday you're going to bow before the multitudes. But in that day it won't do you any good. But now you can confess. And it'll do you some good now. Amen. So then get your confession in early. Will you? Let's sing this chorus. You're always singing it together tonight. I want you to come up here. Will you do that for me? Okay, let's sing it together tonight. Go, leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Come on, folks. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Come on, folks. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Come on, folks. Don't wait too late. Come on tonight. Someday you're going to confess. Now's the time to confess. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, the reason that I don't come is because I don't feel I'm ready. I don't feel it's time, but the Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Let everybody come. The bride says come. The bridegroom says come. Let whosoever will come partake of the waters of life freely. Hallelujah. Somebody would say, I'm not coming because I don't want to. But that's not it, my brother. Amen. You're not coming because Satan is outwitting you. Satan is out talking you. Satan is out thinking you tonight. The thoughts he's putting in your mind tonight. Are those thoughts that trouble you? Those thoughts that said no. Those thoughts that said not time. Those thoughts that said no, I don't want to. But Satan's on the job. He's the one that's using your brain tonight.
In God's word.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Be thy
Amen.
Burden.
But tonight, God
Take
will heal you.
Your burden.
God will do something for
to
you tonight.
The Lord.
Amen.
Leave them there.
You're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. The end
Leave
of the world have come.
There.
What are we going to do?
Yes.
A man's far spinning tonight his hand. What are we going to do, folks?
Take your burden.
Won't you come tonight?
The Lord and leave him there.
Won't you come tonight?
If you live,
I want you to lift your hands up with me. Close your eyes.
Stand the wrong and do the right. Take your burdens to the Lord.
Now I want to pray with you tonight.
Leave them there.
The Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Suffers.
Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost.
Help you can
Amen. When Daniel prayed, God answered.
And you have to
The fire came down from heaven, Brother Butler, when Daniel prayed and things took place. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Just
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Can you say hallelujah tonight? Let's lift our hand and love the Lord tonight.
Unto the Lord.
Let everything that hath breath praise God tonight. Love Him tonight, folks. Lift your hands up and love Him tonight. Hallelujah!
Holy.
Let's praise God tonight. Hallelujah.
Just take your
Father tonight as I pray for my
in
brother.
The Lord.
Oh God, I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. Oh God, I feel the virtue that came from the body of Jesus.
The Holy
I want you to heal my brother tonight.
Shine
I want you to heal the foot tonight.
And do the right.
Take away every
knee.
Break every yoke.
Heal
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you want to be prayed for tonight, come right over here and I'll lay hands on you tonight. And I believe God will do something for you. I really do. From the bottom of my heart, I believe God will do something for you. Hallelujah. I feel God here tonight. I do. I feel the Spirit of God here tonight. I believe God will do something for you. If you want to be prayed for, come right on up here and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, this little mother tonight, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, I feel your healing tonight. I pray, God, that you'd heal this little mother. Let the virtues of the Lord break every yoke tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost, Father. I feel the Holy Ghost. Heal tonight, Jesus. 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 tonight.
Receive the
Let
Holy
our prayers Lord. Reach up to heaven.
Today.
Ooh, oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah.
In your heart.
Father, I feel
faith.
Heal tonight.
Yes, we
Heal tonight, Jesus.
We'll
save tonight. Make every hope tonight. Lift every nerve tonight. Every spirit in the name of Jesus.
In our heart.
Hallelujah.
We can.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God moving tonight. I feel God healing tonight. I feel the wonderful touches of Christ that came out from his body. Hallelujah.
I know he's here.
Jesus.
Oh,
I feel faith tonight. Hallelujah.
Jesus is here.
Heal, Jesus.
Heal this mother tonight. Yes, we'll overcome.
Oh, I feel your healing.
We'll overcome.
I feel your virtue.
I'm glorious. Happy
I feel faith.
Got it. In our heart.
Oh, the Messiah.
We can believe.
I feel the Holy Ghost.
Someday.
Amen. I feel God.
Oh, we'll overcome.
I feel people getting healed tonight.
We'll overcome.
Hallelujah.
Father, my Holy Ghost of God.
I feel your healing tonight, Jesus.
I got just what I wanted.
I got just what I wanted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father.
I got just what I wanted from the Lord.
Father, heal tonight.
The Holy Ghost, what I wanted.
The Holy Ghost, what I wanted. I feel you breaking it tonight. Lord, the anointing is breaking in you.
I got just what I wanted from the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah.
Praise God.
I got just what I wanted from the Lord.
I feel God tonight.
Hallelujah.
Can't you praise the Lord tonight?
Hallelujah.
Can't you say hallelujah tonight? Father, In the name of Jesus.
Yes, I
tonight.
Got just what I want.
Oh, hallelujah.
I got
healed.
What I want. I got deliverance, what I want.
Lord, a Messiah.
Deliverance,
what I want. Deliverance
from the law.
Break every yoke.
Deliverance, what I want. Deliverance is what I wanted.
Fill the yoke.
Deliverance, what I wanted from the Lord.
Somebody say glory to God.
Oh, yes, I
glory to God. Say hallelujah.
I got
praise the Lord tonight.
I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Oh, yeah. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted.
In the name of Jesus, I want you to heal tonight.
Oh, God. I want you to heal tonight. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I love Jesus.
Say, I love Jesus.
Say, hallelujah. Amen, Father. Heal tonight. Lord, I'm a Messiah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to sing a little chorus together here. Amen. I'm not going to pray for anybody else tonight. I failed just a few minutes ago not to pray for anybody else, and I went on and started to pray anyway, and something happened to my mic. The Lord seemed to say, leave off now. Wait till tomorrow night. But let's sing a little chorus together. Can we? Let's sing a chorus together tonight. Hallelujah.